Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wigham Baptist Church this morning for our worship service. A few announcements, and then we'll open up our worship service with prayer. Next Sunday, February the 4th, Brother David Cook will be with us for the worship service in the morning and the PM services. So please make a note of that and come and see Brother David again. February the 7th, Wednesday night meal at 6:30, and then prayer meeting following that at 7 o'clock. And come and fellowship with us if you can on this Wednesday night. And also every Wednesday night at 7 we have prayer meetings and all, and have a time of devotional or a message, and then we have prayer. And come and participate in that if you can. No choir practice this afternoon. February the 25th, Valdosta State University Baptist Collegiate Ministries will be with us for the evening service. We will take up a love offering that night to help with their summer mission trips through Send Me Now. We have a time of food and fellowship after the service. So that's February the 25th, y'all. February the 15th, that's a Thursday, Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry at 7 p.m. Please make a note of that. Also, we had 31 in Sunday school this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you're not involved in Sunday school, we have classes for all ages now. And would love for you to come and study God's Word with us on Sunday mornings at 9:45. Any other announcements that you think of? Okay.
I have. Sorry.
Miss Amy has one.
We had a really good time at our ladies' meeting Monday night, but our next one will be April the 8th, and we're going to have a guest speaker there. So, y'all come to that.
Okay, if there's no other announcements, we'll go ahead and open with prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, and the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, we just want to lift you up today, Lord, as we talked about in Sunday school, Lord. We don't want to make it about ourselves, Lord. We don't want to exalt ourselves or bring glory to ourselves, but we want to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. And one way we do that, Lord, is to gather together, Lord, like we do here, and to sing these songs of praise and worship, Lord, and make sure our focus is on you. And I just pray that we'll do that today, Lord. Lord, I want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he brings your message today, Lord. We know, Lord, that it'll be from your word today, Lord, and not his, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we have prepared our hearts to hear you today through Brother Tim. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Tim.
All right. Any birthdays this past week? Anybody have a birthday this past week? All right. Well, if not, let's stand together, and our first hymn this morning is hymn 203, His Name is Wonderful. Sing both things. Next up is hymn number 182. 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Because he lives.
Thank you.
food and other 10 and 8 and we have a box of wine and so maybe just reach out and touch the other each and every one. And as we take up a solid and glorify your name and do your will. Now it's Heavenly Father's name. Amen. This morning, we finished up last Sunday on our Start sermon series, and so today, I know last Sunday was what the Georgia Baptist and Southern Baptist usually consider the sanctity of life, and I don't want to miss out on this, but I wanted to finish up our series last Sunday morning, and so we're a week late doing it, but that's okay, because it is an important topic, especially in the world we live in today. It is a heated topic, but, you know, I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct, and so as we talk about the sanctity of life, we realize that every person, every baby in its mama's belly is a treasure of God. It is important, it is valued by God, and so as we look at the Word of God today, I want us to look at it from God's perspective, not ours, because there's a lot of things that get in the way of our eyesight oftentimes, And here again, sometimes we look at the Bible through the lenses of the world, and we need to look at the world through the lenses of the Bible. We need to see things God's way because, you know, if we think that we know it all, we're in trouble. Amen? If we think we know it all, we're in trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, listen to what Jeremiah said. He said, this is what God is saying that came to Jeremiah. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I did what? Now, according to this scripture, and I'll touch base on this again a little bit, before conception ever came about, God already knew. All right, God is a God who knows the past perfectly. He knows the present perfectly, but he also knows tomorrow and the future perfectly. He knows everything perfectly. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That means that we, Jeremiah was set apart by God for God. Okay? He was sanctified. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now you say, well, this is Jeremiah. Can I tell you the things that are said there to Jeremiah are no different than you, what God says about you and I? You know why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. God is not prejudiced. And so what God does and what God says to one person can be applied to all of us. Now, there were specific blessings in the Old Testament that God gave to certain people. But in this instance, God knew you before you were born, before you were conceived. God knew you. Before you were born, God has sanctified you. If you're a child of God, you have been called by God for God's purposes. You've been set aside for Him. And then He says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. If you're a child of God, what was Jesus' command to His disciples? To go where? To your own house? To William Baptist Church? To go to the nations. You see, God had a plan for Jeremiah's life. And God has a plan for every one of our lives as well. I want us to realize that today we blame a lot of stuff on politicians. Amen. Because when we're not doing our job, it's easy to blame somebody else. If we're not being a witness to lead other people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then, what do we have to complain about? Because if people are lost, they're going to do what lost people do. Amen? It's only when good pastor friend of mine used to say it this way. He said, you gotta catch a fish before you can scale it, and you gotta kill a deer before you can skin it. Same way spiritually. Somebody has to come under the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be cleansed, not only on the inside, but outside as well. Because the scribes and Pharisees were ones who cleaned up on the outside, but Jesus said inside their bodies were tombs full of dead men's bones, right? They were worthless. They were useless. We need to pray for mothers that they would want and love their babies. Amen. No matter how they came here. We need to pray for doctors and nurses that they would be under conviction of the Holy Spirit not to commit murder. We need to be in prayer for politicians to value human life, period. We need to pray that they would vote no on abortion. And can I tell you this too? We need to continue to be in prayer because just because of the Dobbs decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, even though that's standing right now, what that actually does is it allows each state to make their own rules on abortion. In some states right now, it is legal to kill a baby up to the time and after a child is born. I cannot imagine that maybe if my baby doesn't have the right color eyes or the right color hair that I don't want. I can't imagine making that decision of whether it has five fingers or four or six, that I would make a decision to end that child's life. You see, our prayers are more powerful than any politician on earth. But how often do we pray? We criticize a lot, don't we? But how often do we pray for our politicians? How often do we pray knowing that the Bible says that God can turn the heart of the king whichever way he wills? Amen? We say we believe the Bible, but do we pray that way? Do we pray believing that God can do great things. In Proverbs 12, verse 28, it says, in the way of righteousness there is what? Life. In the way of righteousness there is life, and in its pathway there is no death. You see, we look at things and we look at the value of a life, and we know the way of righteousness leads to life, not just life here on earth, but life in eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Eternal life in that sense. But when we are practicing righteousness, people should come to life. Amen? People should come to life in Christ. Babies should come to life without the fear of being aborted. It's interesting, as I went Friday down to a high school friend of mine's funeral that I was asked to speak at, past billboards going down to Florida. If you've been down I-75 going down to Florida, you see the signs, 18 days of heartbeats detected. 18 days after conception, a heartbeat is detected. Now, a county coroner is charged with making sure somebody's alive or dead. How do they determine death? No brain signals and no heartbeat. Let's reverse the situation. If you want to tell if there is life, what do you got to check for? Brain waves and a heartbeat. At 18 days, a baby's heart is beating in its mother's body. Okay? It is a baby. It is a child. It's not a zygote or embryo. Amen? It is a baby. Just because it's wanted or unwanted doesn't change the fact that God says it is a life and it has value. Well, we are to speak up as believers for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, listen to what it says. It says, open your mouth for the speechless. Who is more speechless than an innocent baby? Anybody? In the case of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now let's think about those three things right there. The speeches. The baby can't speak for itself. Amen? It cannot speak for itself. It cannot stand up and say, I'm innocent in this area. I have done no wrong. I am going to be put to death because of the sins of my parents. I'm glad that death sentence isn't passed down to me because of what my mom and dad did. Amen? But then it goes on to say that we as God's people should open our mouths and judge righteously, plead the cause of who? Those who are poor, and is there anything more poor than a human baby? Is there anything more needy than a human baby? No. And so we need to plead their cause. In Proverbs 6:17, it says that God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Innocent blood. Who among us is more innocent than a baby who's never had an opportunity to make a informed decision? Or any decision as far as that is concerned. Revelation 6:10. And I'm going to quote this verse, but I want us to realize that in this verse, it is talking about the martyrs whose blood was shed during the tribulation period. I get that. But if their blood cries out to God, then so do baby's blood. We looked at Sunday school just a couple weeks ago when Cain killed Abel. His blood cried out to God. And think about the millions of babies in America. Last I saw was somewhere around 60 million babies that have been aborted, quote unquote, legally. 60 million. Second part of that verse. Well, I'll just read the whole verse. It says, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth?" I know this verse is talking about the martyrs, but here again, these babies, their blood surely has to cry out to the Lord. I think about the movement, "It's my body." How many of y'all remember that statement? What about the bodies of the babies? What about their choice? Because isn't that what everybody said? "It's my body, it's my choice." I remember all the banners people walked around with, picketing every time a new abortion rule was going to be ruled on. They would protest any type of moralism imposed on them. "My body, my choice." Well, who's speaking out for the babies and their choices? Most innocent victim is a human baby. And I'm not here to gross anybody out, but I think that if people were to see what literally happens in an abortion, they would never vote for it. I don't see how a doctor can do what they do, reaching in there and ripping the body apart piece by piece. I cannot understand how somebody could be that depraved. I could imagine each one of them little babies standing before God and asking God the question, why didn't my mommy love me? Why didn't my mama give me the choice to live? And I'm not just putting it on moms, okay? I'm not. Because there's two people, amen? Both of them are responsible in this. Where's their choice? Here's the thing. A baby that is aborted will never have anybody take that baby to trial and find it guilty of anything. Right? Before you pass a death sentence on somebody, aren't they supposed to bring you before a judge and a trial and set a date to hear the case? I mean, we're talking about the death penalty here, right? They'll have no attorney that represents them. They will not even be given the basic rights of a prisoner of war. They will not even be given anesthetics that a veterinarian would give to a pet. They say that in these videos that you can literally see the babies trying to pull away from the doctors as they are trying to pull them out. I cannot understand. Back in the 70s, y'all may remember this name, Francis Schaeffer wrote an article, a book talking about how abortion was going to lead to, euthanasia. And in that, he was talking about how, people think that this is kind of far-fetched, that it would lead to that. But do you know there's nations in America today where if an older person, I say in America, in the world today, where if you go into the hospital and there's something wrong with you, the doctors determine whether you go home or not. It is not your choice. You get to a place where you're not contributing to society, they claim, that they can legally euthanize you because you are a burden on society. Now, if we don't care for the most innocent among us, what's to say they're going to keep us around? Because honestly, here again, we think it's a far stretch. Well, that would never happen here. Well, we said that about abortion too, didn't we? We said about abortion that it would never be passed, and yet Roe v. Wade brought on for what, 50 years? 60 million babies are aborted, and yet we said, well, it won't happen here. Just keep watching. Just keep burying our heads in the sand and say, no, we don't care. We don't care this is gone. Because even though, like I say, the Dobbs decision has kind of reversed Roe versus Wade, we still got states passing on bills. So we still need to pray. We still need to speak up for the innocent among us and pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our moms. We need to pray for our society that we would turn back to God. Why? Whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, we need to speak up for life. Why? Why do we need to do that? Because all life is sacred to God. It was created by God. Genesis 1:27. This is what it says. So God created man in his own what?
Image.
God created us, you and me, in his image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God determined your sex. Amen? God determined it. Not you, not politicians. God determines. And if you say, well, God messed up on me, no, he didn't. God doesn't make junk. Amen? He knew who he wanted. He created you. He created you in his image. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. God created you unique. God created you to be you. God didn't create you to be somebody else. Amen? And when we understand that, we understand how God is and how God loves us so much that he was willing to send his son to die for us. That's how valuable human life is to God. And to say anything other than that is to tell God he is a liar to his face. Each baby is created with a plan and a purpose by God. Every life has a purpose. Who knows that maybe during these 60 million babies America has aborted, that if the person who could have cured cancer was there in that number, or the next great leader of the United States of America, or the great next Billy Graham or Adrian Rogers were in that bunch that got aborted. We don't know. But God does. Every life is protected by God. Created, whether it was a person who was born blind, born deaf, a perfect child, or a child born with Down syndrome, every life is valuable to God because every person bears the image of Almighty God. It is protected. In Job chapter 10, verse 12, says, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Man. We were talking about Sunday school this morning that some people think the deists believe that God really is not involved in our daily living, but that verse right there throws that out because God takes care of me. God takes care of you. You might not feel like it at the time, But if you see that God's brought you through the valleys, you understand that God is God on the mountain and he's God in the valley too. And we can trust him to see us through each step of the way. In Psalm 91, verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, this was a foretaste of Christ coming. But the same thing is true for us. Are we trusting God to lead us and guide us? Life is valued by God. Isaiah 49, verse 16. Man, I love this verse. You don't think you're important to God? Look at this, what this verse says. He says, see, I have inscribed. How many of y'all ever wrote a note on your hand? Not a cheat sheet in class. No, y'all wouldn't do that. says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. This is God speaking. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. In other words, for a person who puts their faith and trust in God, and they are his and he is theirs, he writes us on the palm of his hand. He's never going to forget us anyhow, amen, because he knows everything perfectly. He already knows. But how can you forget something that's written on your hand? You can't. Jeremiah 1:5, we read it to begin with. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. And God already has that plan and purpose laid out for our lives. But are we trusting it? Are we valuing life the way that he does? And a quick way to test yourself is this. Do you think less of somebody who looks different than you? You want me to say that again? Do you value life the way God does? And one test is to say, do you think less of somebody who looks different than you? Color, race, religion, social standing. Do you look down on others? Because if you do look down on them, then that means you don't value their life as much as you do yours. God loves us enough to love all of us and to love us perfectly. John 10:10, the second part of that verse says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it, what? A little bit more. Abundantly. The devil's the one that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The devil is the one that wants to kill that innocent life in its mother's womb. The devil's the one that wants to destroy society. Amen. God, Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Life is sacred because God made it, but life is also sacred no matter what condition it is in. Amen. No matter what condition. We live in a fallen world. Today in society, what is right is called wrong, and what is wrong is called right. Our Bible says, woe unto them. In other words, one day their judgment is coming. One day they are going to face that penalty of their decisions. But you and I have been given a choice to do what is right. And in these situations, we realize that it would be great if we didn't live in a fallen world. It would have been great if we could all stay in the Garden of Eden. Amen? But we haven't. And so, yes, there are troubles, there are trials, there are things that go wrong. There are disasters, whether man-made or nature-made. There are things that go wrong. There are deformities. There are all these things that happen. But we have to still realize they are created by God and in his image. And we should love them and care for them just as he does. There's going to be challenges. That's part of life, amen? How many of you been through a trial lately? How many of you going through one right now? If you're not, thank God, but you will be going into one for long, amen? That's what my pastor always said. You're either going into a trial, you're in one, or you're coming out of one. That's the three realities of life. We all face it from time to time. It may be different, but that is a fact of life for all of us. There are challenges. But my Bible tells me in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all my cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. He cares for you. He cares for the child nobody wants. He cares for that baby that mama doesn't want. He cares for every single one of us. There are times of trial and tribulation, but we can always cast our cares on him. James 2:1 says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various, what? It doesn't say if you fall into them, does it? It says when. It's going to happen. It's a matter of fact for every single one of us. In John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We must not, as believers, overlook those that society wants to leave behind. We must encourage them. We must love them. You say, why? Why should we do that? If you read through the Gospels and you see Jesus is walking along and somebody had leprosy, what did he do? Turn his head and keep walking by? If Jesus saw a lame man laying there by a pool and he decided he just didn't want to deal with him, did he walk on by and turn his head? No, if he saw a blind man that needed help, cried out to him, did he just walk on by and say, well, somebody else's problem? What did he do? When he saw people that were hungry and needed feeding, did he say, well, let them go to town and buy some food themselves? Every time I read where God, when Jesus saw a need, my Bible tells me he was moved with what? Compassion. He was moved to action. His compassion, his burden, his heart for the people was in such a way that he could not walk on by and leave them in the state they were in. He had to do something for them. How many of us, when we see somebody at a stoplight or at a stop sign and they hold up a sign, do we turn our head the other way and drive on by? I get it. We don't know if they're faking it or not. They look healthy. Amen. Why don't they just get a job? Amen. But is that how it should be? If we were that person in need, how would we want others to respond to us? Would we want them to drive on by and say, go get a job? Maybe it wasn't our fault we lost your job. Maybe our house burnt down. We don't have anywhere to go. And so I'm there on the corner asking somebody to help me. Somebody to help me. And every time in the Bible, somebody cried out to Jesus and said, help me. What did he do? He didn't say find somebody else. He met their needs. And are we doing the same for others? People do have challenges. Studies show that 90% of amniocentesis, if I said that correctly or not, if a result comes back negative that a child is going to have Down syndrome, 90% of the couples will choose to abort. 90%. But let me ask you something. What is the most loving, caring child in the world? I'm not saying there's not times and other problems. But most of the time, a child that has Down syndrome is the most loving, caring person you'll ever find. And they're oftentimes a complete joy to be around. Jesus loves them, and so should we. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." You see, I said that a while ago. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't make junk. It doesn't matter what condition, what shape, big, little, small, in between, it doesn't matter. God loves them all. God loves each one of us, and we need to trust him, and we need to do the same. Jesus placed great value on those society said had no value. Mark 1:41 says, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" This man was a leper, crying out. Stretched out his hand and said, "Be cleansed." Life is sacred because it is of eternal nature. Back to Psalm 139. Verses 15 and 16. It's eternal in nature. 15 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." That is the little process of being conceived in the mother's womb. "And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." You say, "God doesn't have a plan and purpose for me." Can I tell you to go read that verse? Your days may be full of hardship, trials, tribulations, but God is still there, and God's still on his throne. God still has a way to lead you and guide you through it. We just have to learn to trust him that even when there were no days fashioned for us, God was already working in us. He was already working something out. But think about that. The parents you're born to, the family you're born into, the church you grew up into, the city you're in, the state you're in, the country you're in. How many of you had a choice in many of those matters? So, well, I moved from here to there. Did God open that door for you, or did you open it? You see, when we look and see what God has done in our lives, we can trust him even more. There is life. There is life. But there's the life we're talking about that is given to us from our mothers and fathers. But there's also a life, a new life that Jesus Christ wants to give to each one of us today. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Unless you are born again, you cannot," what? "Cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless you are born again, unless you believe in Jesus Christ. We call it salvation, being reborn, being born again, as many of us call it. Unless you are born again. In other words, there's a one-time life that we have here on earth. And the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man to die once, and then after that is what? The judgment. Right? There's a life we live here on earth. But in Christ Jesus, we also have new life. We are born again in him. It's kind of like this. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die a physical death, but you also die a spiritual death, that you are eternally separated from God. Revelation talks about that. But if we are born twice and born of the flesh and born of the spirit, then we only die once because we're really just changing addresses. Amen? We're here on earth and we're moving up. You're never going to have your best days now. Our best days are in the future. As we think about our life here on earth, it's just a taste of the future. 1 John 5:13. Jesus says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God," meaning Jesus, "that you may know you have" what? Does God want you to walk around wondering if you're saved or lost? He wants you to know. Said, "These things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You see, these things are written, these things are for us that live in this lifetime, that we can look at the Word of God, we can trust the Word of God, we can believe in the Word of God, and we can say, "God has written these things so that I can put my faith and trust in him, that I could know him, but also know that I have eternal life. And he wants the same for you. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. This is the second bit. It says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second bit. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into where? The lake of fire. You see, God gives us a choice. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we prepare for heaven in this lifetime by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our works don't get us into heaven. Our money don't get us into heaven. God loved us so much that he gave himself for us. What about you today? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Do you know that God loves you? He loves you enough that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for you. Do you know that today? Are you sure of that? That if this was your last day on earth, where you would be? If you're not sure, you can be. Put your faith, trust in Jesus. What do we need to do? Because this is where I want us to think. Because that's kind of one of them messages where, yeah, it's kind of like, well, we know this stuff. But sometimes we like to push it out of our sight. What do we need to do? Well, I think the first thing we don't need to do is respond in violence. Two wrongs don't make a right. That's what my mom always used to tell me. My brothers would hit me and I'd hit them back. Amen. They always got a free one, right? And they still see me. Kind of like watching a football game. One guy shoves the other guy, and the other guy in the football game, he hauls on and hits the guy, and who gets flagged? It wasn't the first guy, it was the second guy, right? Well, here's the point I'm trying to make. We don't need to do wrong to people. We don't need to mistreat them. We need to love them with the love that Jesus would. We need to have compassion on them. We don't need to build walls. We need to speak truth and speak out. Amen. We do need to do that. We need to speak up and speak out for them. We need to stand our ground on that. We need to stay informed. We need to work and pray. You notice God has said work and pray. Every one of your state representatives and senators and mayors have email addresses. And you know why many of the judges and politicians are voting the way they are? It's because they hear more from the side who wants abortion than they do from the ones who don't. Because if the ones who don't would speak up, then guess which side the politicians would switch to? Amen? Because if you want to put them out of office, you have a right to do so. Amen? We live in America. Vote for life. Always, always, always vote for life. But it doesn't just stop there. We need to teach morality in our homes. Amen. Mom and dads need to teach morality in their homes. Grandparents need to teach morality in their homes. What is right? What is wrong? We always need to preach abstinence until marriage. Amen. And I hate to say this, but the best sex is not safe sex, it's sex inside of marriage. Amen. I ain't talking that to me this morning. Come on. We need to have more compassion for unwed mothers. You'd be surprised at the stories I've heard over the years of how the church determined whether a young teenage girl would have an abortion or not. And by that, what I'm saying is it's not the church that took them to heaven. It was because of the actions of the church members and the condemning spirit they had towards a young teenage girl who would become pregnant outside of wedlock that they were treated so badly that the parents, instead of facing the shame of the congregation, would take their daughter to have an abortion. God forbid that we would ever be a church like that. That we would say, yes, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. We are all sinners in need of saving, but also of forgiveness, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not a perfect man, and you're not a perfect person either. And we all have sins. They may be different sins. Amen. But we need to say, look, we're all in this together. Love each other. I said earlier, we need to speak out without apology. Isaiah 58:1, I'll end with this. Says, cry out loud. Or cry loud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Not like a little Tweety Bird. Right? Like a trumpet. Tell my people their what? Tell my people. Tell them the truth. Tell them what they're doing wrong. Tell them where they're sinning against me. That is what God wants us to do. We need to speak up against abortion, but we also need to speak out on the root problem of it, and that is sin. Anything that goes against the will of God is S-I-N. What does sin mean? It means I missed the mark. God's mark, God's bullseye is perfection, and no matter how hard I try, I can't hit it. Amen? That's why Jesus sent his son to die on the cross, because I couldn't hit the mark every time. You can't hit the mark every time. Nobody can hit it every time. We needed somebody who could. And that somebody did. That somebody was Jesus. He hit the mark every single time. He lived that perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was our substitute. He took our punishment on himself. He died the death of the cross, taking our sin and our shame on him. And he did that for us to be set free. Not to live like we want to live, but to live for him. Because we love him and he loves us. Where are you at today? Maybe some of you say, I've never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Today I want to trust him. If that's you, come forward and I'll show you to the best of my ability how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus and have your sins forgiven. But for others, maybe you just need to come and something in your heart, your life you need to deal with, and maybe you just need to come spend time with the Lord. Whatever you feel God leading you to do, as we sing, will you stand with me? Hymn number 307. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you now. Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you just lead this time of invitation as only you can. God, I pray, knowing that you are a God of forgiveness. Lord, you are a God who can give us a fresh start in life, a new start. Lord, we just need to come clean with you. Ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and just continue to try our best to live for you. Lord, whatever decisions may need to be made today, Lord, I pray that we would honor you in each and every one of our lives.